September 23rd, 2017, the world will come to an end.
The sun, the moon, and the stars will align with perfection to fulfill a 2,000-year-old prophecy. Perfection only found from the creator of heaven and earth. This prophecy was written down in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Holy Bible, directly from Jesus. This book was given to us so that we would know the time of the end, what to expect, and to know what would happen. Let's read Revelation 12 together. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. So what we see written here is the constellation Virgo, which is known as the woman, who is clothed with the sun. That means the sun is currently in the constellation Virgo.
Praise Jesus.
The moon is under her feet, and above her head is a crown of 12 stars. God himself spoke through the prophet Daniel and said these things would be sealed up until the time of the end. 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 Time of the end.
That's right, that's right. It's the Big Angry Phil Podcast, number 66.
Time of the end.
And if it isn't my favorite time of the year, that's right, it's the...
Time of the end.
Time of the end. Every fucking year, it's the time of the end. So afraid of the time of the end. Yet every time they say it's the time of the end,
time of the end.
We live on.
Time of the end.
Fuck that.
Time of the end. 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 Time of the end.
I bang my head at the time of the end.
Time of the end.
Fuck the time of the end. Fuck people are afraid of the time of the end.
Time of the end.
Oh my god, the world's gonna end!
Again.
Time of the end.
We made God mad.
Time of the end.
Such a vengeful God. Why do we pray to this asshole? Fuck him!
Time of the end.
Fuck him and his time of the end. You got your time of the end right here, buddy. Oh my God, that time of year again, huh? September 23rd, mark that down in your calendars. This might be the last podcast I ever do. Because we all might die. Because a few people angered the Lord. So the Lord had to send a few hurricanes your way. Ever notice the hurricanes always fuck up the Christian states? And the tornadoes always go through the Bible Belt? What did you do to piss off your God? Don't you kneel and pray to him every morning, every night, every fucking Sunday? You go in the same fucking building, gotta get all dressed up and sit with the other morons and sit there and do whatever the fucking priest tells you to do, including suck him off if you're under 12 years old? That's right, Sonny, it's the coming of the Lord. Fucking waste of time. Why is God so angry? Why is he trying to kill you? Why is he trying to kill all of us? Maybe you're not praying to the right God. Maybe you should be praying to Allah. Maybe you've got the wrong one. You ever think of that? Maybe the God you pray to is not the right one. So he's saying, hey, assholes, I don't give a fuck what you're praying for. Here's some hurricanes. Here's another one. Hey, here's a tornado or two. Fuck you. You live in a mobile home? God ain't helping you. You live in a dirty, crowded city that's under sea level? Go fuck yourselves. Can you honestly tell me that all this praying has done you any fucking bit of good? Other than maybe boosting up your self-esteem a little bit. Which is all in your head anyway. And I love how we're supposed to pray for places after the disaster. Pray for Houston. Pray for Florida. Pray for London. Just got blown up again. Fuck you! Clearly, God hates these places, or he wouldn't let that happen, would he?
But it's God's will.
Well, he must be really fucking entertained. So you know what? I'm tired of those crackers down in Florida. Here's a big old hurricane for him. Here's the deal. I make the hurricanes. I'll let the earthlings name them. How's that? How's that sound? That good? Really? What'd you call this one? Irma? Jesus fucking Christ. That's right. I'm God. I can say whatever I want. Was it God's will to have so many fat fucks in this country? Rolling around the Walmart in a fucking scooter? Is that God's plan for you? Get diabetes and not be able to walk? Let's see. Bertha. Yeah, fuck her. She's make her 600 pounds. She can't walk. She has diabetes. She practically lives in a fucking Walmart. And when she's not in a Walmart, she stuffs her ass into a double-wide trailer. Her fat ass, ironically, can't fit in a double-wide. That's some god. This is the son of a bitch you fucking worship? Why would you worship an asshole like that? He's trolling you. He's trolling you, not trolling me, because I don't believe in God. Even when I was a kid, they try to say, hey, really? This guy above the clouds that we can't see. But he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, and he controls everything you do. Oh, by the way, there's different gods depending on what part of the world you live in. Yeah, that makes fucking sense. But here we go again with the fucking end of the world every fucking year with this, right? People are actually panicking about this. It hasn't hit the news yet. Right now, it's just on the internet. All the internet kooks and the religious wackos, they're all over it right now. About 2 days before it's supposed to happen, that's when the mainstream news will pick up on it, because the mainstream news is always late with this kind of shit. And 2 days before it's supposed to happen, oh, by the way, the world's going to end. Pack your shit. Nice knowing you. Why? Why do we even pay attention to this? The world is not going to end. The world hasn't ended every time they said it would. But they just want to get a rise out of people. They just want everybody panicked and nervous, because people that are panicked and nervous are easier to control. The politicians know this. The media know this. The religious fuckers know this. I know this. Why don't you fucking know it? You dope? Sitting there on your knees with your hands clasped, pray. What does that do? Who even, why? What is that supposed to do? Why do you even have to be in that position to pray? On your fucking knees. People on their knees are easier to control. Right, Catholic priests? Right. Fucking end of the world. And then when the end of the world comes and goes, they all shut up, don't they? They don't take any responsibility for their bullshit. What did we see? September 23rd, 2017. I meant October 14th, 2018. Mark that date down. And here's why. They'll tell you what stars are going to align and what Bible passage to circle. I mean, enough already. The Bible, you know. Most publications are outdated within a week. This piece of shit has been around for thousands of years, and it absolutely does not translate to today's times. Absolutely does not. People like to pretend it does. People like to make comparisons. But it's all coincidence. That fucking book was meant to control primitive people, just as George Carlin had mentioned. And it still works today. What are we, stupid? What are you, dumb? What are you doing? I mean, I'm glad you're reading something, but read something that makes sense. Book of Revelations. How about the Book of Contradictions?
The world's gonna end.
Watch, I guarantee you, as I said before, 2 days or even a day before, the mainstream media will be all over. Fox News will come on. The world ends tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And fucking Tucker Carlson will be on there with his bad hairpiece telling us why. Telling it's all the liberals' fault. Well, some of it is, but, you know, we don't need to hear him say it.
Ann Coulter, I told you so, I told you so.
Don't you just want to smack the shit out of her when you see her? I'm so tired of that turkey neck, white, pasty broad. You might as well give her a NFL sportscasting job. Like that Beth Malrons who was on Monday Night Football. Oh, my fucking God, are you kidding me? They're all praising her.
She's the first play-by-play woman announcer in the NFL.
Well, she's a bad one. Don't be so proud of that. None of them are any good. As I speak, she's doing the UCLA game right now. And I'm sure the majority of Americans have the sound off. Nobody wants to hear that naggy, dykey voice. What the fuck are you doing? That's what men are trying to get away from. Now you put it on their sports. Maybe it is the end of the world. Maybe this is a sign. All these ugly turkey neck broadcasters. Well, speaking of the end of the world, I was wondering why I'm seeing all these religious billboards all over LA. Now, you expect to see them in the Midwest or the South, but not in Los Angeles. We're not a bunch of religious kooks over here. But they read as follows. In the beginning, God created. And then there's a phone number, 855-FIND-TRUTH. So there's two extra numbers at the end that you don't need. 855-FIND-TRUTH. And these billboards are all over the goddamn place. But I'm sure it has some kind of connection with the end of the world prophecies. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call 855-FIND-TRUTH and see if we can find the truth. Here we go.
The toll-free number for gospelbillboards.org.
Okay.
Para Español, marque 9. To speak with someone on our phone team about your questions or spiritual needs, press 0. To learn more about gospelbillboards.org, press 1.
All right, let's try that. Let's learn about gospel billboards.
Gospel billboards post gospel messages in all 50 states because we want people everywhere
ruining to the entire Lord country.
Jesus Christ, repent from their sins, and commit their lives to Him.
Really?
Millions of people read our gospel signs every day, and thousands of people have received spiritual encouragement from someone on our phone team.
Only thousands out of the billions? Not very many.
Programs under Christian Aid Ministries. Other programs provide food, clothing, and medicines to needy people in many countries all over the world. We also send teams of volunteers to help survivors of natural disasters here in the United States. To find out more about our billboard program, visit us at gospelbillboards.org. To listen to brief explanations about our billboard messages, press 2. To speak with someone on our phone team about your questions or spiritual needs, press 0.
Oh, I'm there.
If you know the extension number of the phone team member you would like to speak with, you may dial it at any time.
Fuck if I know.
Otherwise, you may hold for the next available team member.
Yeah, I'll do
this
that instead.
This call may be recorded.
Oh, good. I'll bet I'm recording.
Please
it.
Listen to a brief explanation of truth while we connect your call.
Okay.
Have you ever asked yourself these questions? Can I really know what is true? What will happen to me after I die? Who is Jesus?
Yeah, who is that fucker?
These are very important questions, and it is crucial to know the right answers. If we don't, we will miss our purpose for being here on the earth, and we will not be prepared to meet God when we pass from this life. Be assured, Jesus cares about you and wants you to learn who He is.
Oh, thank God for that.
He wants His Spirit within you to guide you through life.
His Spirit within me.
And when your life is over, He wants you to live with.
Good afternoon, and thanks for calling Gospel Billboards. My name is John Martin. How are you today?
Yeah, hi, John. My name is Phil in L.A., and I'm seeing a lot of your billboards around town that say God created. I'm just trying to see what the message exactly is behind those billboards.
Well, the message is that God created us, and everything was created with a purpose.
Uh-huh.
And He showed us His purpose by sending His Son and demonstrating in His life what human life is supposed to be. And then He made that life available to us by dying on a cross to free us from the power of sin, which keeps us from the ideals of humanity. And He rose from the dead to give us resources so that we can actually live the beautiful, ideal human life that He lived.
I see. But billboards that just say God created, placed around Hollywood, I mean, is that supposed to convert people, perhaps, that are not of the Christian faith? Or I'm just trying to see what the purpose of their specific placement of the billboards all around Hollywood, as if perhaps Hollywood's a place of sin, I'm guessing maybe is the reason. Can you elaborate?
Well, we have 800 billboards scattered across the country. I don't know that those were particularly targeted for Hollywood per se. But the alternative to the creation by God is that we are just simply accidents of evolution, that, you know, there's no real purpose, there's no real moral imperative. We're just here, and it doesn't matter how we live or what we do. We're not responsible to anybody. We're not accountable to anybody who had any purpose for our lives. So the billboard is really countering that idea.
So if we ever had any doubt of how we got here, we look up, we see God created, and we think, yeah, you know what? Maybe that's right. You know what I mean? That definitely clears up any doubt I might have had. What about accidental births, though? You know, unwanted pregnancies, that kind of thing. Did God create those?
God created certain natural laws that are in effect. I mean, the law of gravity is one of them, and we can say, well, when somebody falls and gets badly hurt or dies, you know, is that why God created gravity, or is that how it's supposed to work? There are certain natural laws that just are in effect, and if you do certain things happen. We do live in a world of order. We live in a world of law. There are certain laws, and we believe that there are also moral laws that
right.
if they're violated, certain things happen, and if they're obeyed, certain things happen.
So for example, the two hurricanes that just swept through the United States, was that God's doing? Was he angry at that part of the country? Was something going on there that he didn't like?
I can't say that. I know that man fell after his creation, fell into sin, and we know that creation was affected. Romans 8 says that the creation is groaning and travailing because of man's sin. And so we believe that the laws of nature have been they're not perfect like they were in the beginning, and so hurricanes are a result of a nature that doesn't act the way God originally intended for it to act. But I would say that it was a wake-up call for people who think they can manage their own lives and they don't need God. They're brought finally to an extremity and realize they cannot manage everything in life. I think it is a wake-up call.
So God had nothing to do with the hurricanes. But I do hear people say that, you know, God is mad at us. That's why he sent the hurricanes. There are people that believe that God controls the weather. He doesn't?
I believe God allows those things to happen. And I don't know how much directly he targets certain areas for the weather to affect. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how all that happens. I would not say that if a hurricane happened that the people in that particular part of the country were more wicked than others. In fact, some people came to Jesus one time and said there was a tower that fell on some people there. Was that because those people were more wicked than other people? And Jesus said, no, if you don't repent, you will perish as well. It's not that God was angry with those people.
Because it seems to me, because the two states that were most affected by the hurricanes, Texas and Florida, those are known to be very Christian states, wouldn't you agree? I mean, I don't know why God would be mad at that section of the world. It seems like they are the most devoted to God.
I'm telling you that I don't think God necessarily was more angry with or was angry with those people.
What about earthquakes? Does God have anything to do with that? Because there was a big earthquake in Mexico, and Mexico is a very religious place.
I'm saying to you that I don't connect that with God being angry with anybody. Ah.
So he doesn't control the natural disasters, because I've heard people say that he does. I'm just confused.
I don't know how much he directly intervenes. I just think it's a matter of natural laws that he created.
Okay.
Not functioning in the harmony that he originally intended, because like I said, nature was affected by man's sin. And so now we have a gene pool that's corrupted. So we have people who are born who are deformed. But that's because the gene pool isn't perfect like it was at the beginning. At the beginning, it was a perfect gene pool. And brothers and sisters married each other because there was no danger. And God made laws later to prohibit that because he saw that it was not a wise thing after the gene pool wasn't perfect like it was at the beginning.
So we should be following God's law and not, for example, the laws of the country, like our man-made laws, right? God's laws are more important than, you know, the ones that law enforcement enforces.
Exactly. Although most of the laws of this country, we can obey as Christians without any contradiction to God's law. But just because the nation has a law does not mean that's how life is supposed to work. You're right. God's laws define what is right and what's wrong and what will be a blessing and what will not be a blessing.
Okay, but what if, and again, there's so many other religions and that pray to other gods, but those are those all false gods? Are they all wrong and the Christian God is the correct God? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of gods that people seem to pray to. I'm just wondering which one is actually the correct one.
You're asking very good questions, Phil, and I will say this is a good conversation. Many people who call get very defensive and very angry.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of crank calls. You know, there's people with nothing better to do.
Yes,
I'm actually very interested in this kind of stuff because I see a lot of things and hear a lot of things, and I'd just like to get to the bottom of it.
But you ask a very good question, why I believe that the God of the Bible is the true God. I'm not here to make any comments to put other religions down. I'm just simply saying that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, the Christian religion says that God manifested himself in a very definite way, a very clear way, by coming into man's experience, taking on a human form in the person of Jesus. And then he died, and he said the proof that his message was valid and that his claims were valid, he would rise from the dead. And we believe the evidence is good that actually happened. And that being the case, we believe that the Christian religion has a special validation, that it is a true religion.
But what would you say to those who might disagree with that, like a Jewish person or a Muslim person who might not have that ideology? Ideology. There you go.
Yeah, it is. I would tell the Jew to go to his own prophet. The prophet Daniel in chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, tells exactly when their Messiah was going to appear, between the command to rebuild Jerusalem, which we know happened in 536 BC, and the destruction of the city, which we know happened in AD 70. And so I would just say you need to seriously consider that Jesus came during that time, and you people are still looking for your Messiah. You maybe should consider he already has appeared. That's what I would say to the Jewish person. And to the Muslim, I would simply say, Jesus resurrected from the dead to validate his claims. And as far as the evidence that he did that, I mean, just think about it. Jerusalem was the place where Christianity began. If the disciples wanted to tell a false narrative, they would have gone to some city of credulous people and said, hey, we have a leader that rose from the dead, and those people would have no way to prove it one way or the other. But the Christianity began right in the city where that happened, and thousands of people in that city believed, people who could have examined the evidence and apparently felt that the evidence was sufficient for them to believe the story. And then you have apostles who didn't believe the story, and Jesus had to appear to them a number of times to convince them. But once they were convinced, they stuck to their story, not like the Watergate individuals who lied. Chuck Colson said we all lied until the prosecution began, and then we all talked to save our skin. The disciples were tortured, put to miserable deaths. Not a one of them cracked. They stuck to their story. Now people say, well, yeah, a lot of people die for things that aren't true, but they die knowing they die believing they're true. These men would have died knowing that they were dying for a lie, and nobody does that. And then, of course, you immediately have the Christian church that springs up, and within 200 years, wins the heart of the empire, the Roman Empire, that had tried desperately to destroy Christianity. They win the heart of that empire without lifting a sword. They do it by serving and by dying, by saying, look, we believed in Jesus' resurrection and we received him as Lord, and it changed our lives. And thousands of people had that testimony. So you have the phenomenon of the Christian church happening as a result of Jesus' resurrection. And then you have the writer Luke, the gospel writer Luke, who was not a disciple. He was a Greek historian. And he writes to his friend and says, I wrote so that you might know that this story is true. And apparently Luke researched it and was satisfied that the evidence was good. And so people, you know, say, well, was Luke a credible historian? So they check his people, his chronologies, his dates, his geography. And they say Luke was an impeccably accurate historian. And so I think then we have to give Luke some credit, some credibility for the things he says that we can't at this point verify, such as the resurrection. So I put all that together, plus, you know, some other things that you can observe, and you say, well, something really did happen there. I mean, this is a credible story.
The one thing I want to confuse with is the year, the calendar year. Again, there, you know, the Chinese have their different year, the Jews have their different year. How is it, because BC is supposed to be before Christ, and the years went backwards, and then the AD is after death, is that right?
No, it's AD is after Christ.
After Christ, but AD stands for what, though?
Anno Domino or something like that. It's Latin for, and I can't give you the exact words in the Latin, but it means after Christ.
Right. So what year exactly was he born? Zero? I mean, none of that even makes sense to me.
Well, the chronology, I'm not sure was exactly, I think they say it was off by about 6 years, but it is about the, you know, it's right around the time of his birth.
Right. So then everything after that would be after Christ. So he's been born, so everything is after Christ was born, not after death, which is what it's mistakenly attributed to. Okay, I got
That's correct.
You were talking about the towers falling before. That made me instantly think of 9/11 and those two towers falling. What do you think? Was that something of God's doing too? Was he angry at the people of New York, or was that outside of his jurisdiction?
Well, God gave us all the ability to make our choices, and when people make wrong choices, people suffer. If I use more resources than what I really need, then somebody's going to have less than they need. I mean, it's just the way it is. That selfish choices cause people to suffer.
But it's not necessarily. But it's not necessarily the people who made the choices that suffer. It's whoever might be in the surrounding area. Like I can't imagine all 3,000 people in those buildings made bad choices in their life. They just.
No. I'm saying when I make bad choices, innocent people suffer. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
If I make bad choices as a father, and treat my children in ways that represent bad choices, they suffer and they're innocent.
Yeah, and then the people of Florida and Texas with the hurricane. So a couple of people in there. There's a couple of bad apples in there. So we had to wipe out a few thousand of them just to teach them a lesson.
No. I don't think it was necessarily because God was judging any particular people.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, it just simply was what we call a natural disaster. It was nature doing what nature does, a nature that is not perfect.
Because whenever a big earthquake happens in, say, San Francisco, which is a city known for its homosexuality, I hear a lot of people say, well, that's God's punishment for them being homosexuals. But not everybody in San Francisco is a homosexual. So, I don't think it's fair to rattle the entire city of San Francisco just because the actions of a few people that God might not like.
Well, I've been saying all the way through, I don't believe that.
I don't
believe that these things are necessarily God's judgment. I think God allows them, at the very least, I think, as a wake-up call, not just to the people in those places, but to everybody, that we are not masters of our own lives, that there are things beyond our control, and we need to be prepared for such events and not be taken by surprise by our smug self-sufficiency.
How is God aware of what everybody's doing, though? I mean, does he watch CNN, or does he have a whole network of, do you have a whole security, security screens all over the place? How exactly is he on top of everybody?
I can't answer that question. I know it's even more intense than what you've described.
Right.
The Bible says he has every hair of our head numbered. So he knows how many hairs were on my head before I washed my hair this morning, and he knows how many hairs I had afterward.
Right. So if you start going bald, is he plucking the hairs, or is that just happening naturally?
Well, when I wash my hair, my fingers, I'm sure, tear out a few hairs, and that just happens naturally.
All right. One last thing. Everybody, apparently September 23rd is the end of the world, is this year's end of the world. Is there any credibility to this, or is it just a bunch of people overreacting?
Well, people asked Jesus what it was going to be, and he said in an hour when you think not. So I kind of think it won't happen on September the 23rd.
Right. It seems to be every year we have one of these, and every year it comes and goes. And then once it doesn't happen, you don't hear about it again. Everybody's freaking everybody out. Everybody's trying to get everybody paranoid. And then, hey, nothing. It was just like Y2K. You know, nothing happened then either.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think it won't happen on that date simply because people have focused on that date. Jesus
right.
said he's going to come in an hour when we think not. And, of course, a lot of people say, well, where's the promise of his coming? Peter tells us this in his writings. Everything continues as it was from the beginning of the world. Well, you know, the Jewish people waited 4,000 years for Jesus. For 4,000 years, they had to keep their faith that someday their Messiah would appear. And we have a parable in the Bible of a nobleman who went to a far country and gave his people some responsibilities, and then he came back and held them responsible for what he had told them to do. But it's interesting that in that parable, which I think is a parable about Jesus and his going away and coming back again, it says that that nobleman went into a far country for a long time. So I don't think it's any surprise that Jesus' second coming has not happened as quickly as some people think. The parable says it would be a long time. And Jews waited 4,000 years. We've waited 2,000 years. I think we need to be aware of the fact that Jesus is going to return.
He really needs to bring his ass down. I'll tell you what day would really freak people out. Christmas Day. Wouldn't that be something? The world just ended, bang. You know what? Screw it. Done. Christmas Day. Nobody will see that one coming. That would suck.
See, my question, friend, is more practical, is more to the point. Are you a follower of Jesus?
I wasn't, but but I've always kept an open mind. You know, I always like hearing different sides of the story, and seeing all these billboards here. I might be convinced. I might be on the wrong side. I might need to be on the good side of Jesus, because we don't know what he's up to. You know, if he's...
Do you have a Bible, Phil?
There's one around here somewhere. You know, I just got to dust it off.
Why don't you read the Gospels, the second part of the Bible, start at the beginning, and let Jesus speak for himself. And I think you'll agree that the life he lived and the teachings he gave would represent the ideal humanity and the ideal society. He called it the kingdom of heaven. He talked more about getting heaven to earth than he talked about getting people to heaven. And what that means is that he wants a representation on this earth of what original society was supposed to be before man fell, what that would have looked like, what marriage would have looked like, what money would have looked like, how people would have lived. And that's why a lot of people have written that kingdom off for the future. They say, oh, it's too idealistic. I mean, he says no divorce and remarriage, no oaths, no going to war and killing, no accumulation of wealth. That must be for some future utopia. That's certainly not true for today. But the fact is that it is true for today. He made it very clear that that's how he expects us to live and demonstrate what the whole world would look like if everybody obeyed the king. I just simply think you need to consider that Jesus wants you to be part of a kingdom, a society of people. It's what the church should have been. And there are churches that carry out those ideals. And I call it a society of the redeemed. He wants a little colony of heaven here and there all over the world so people can look in and see the lost ideal for humanity. And that's my concept of the gospel, that Jesus is restoring us to what down deep in our hearts we know should be the ideal for humanity and for society.
So I'm wondering if the whole point of living to see what happens when you die, like live the best life you can so you could get to heaven, is that actually the point of life itself and not to get into hell?
No, the point of life is to give God a representation on this earth, what he originally intended for man. I don't think that we can live a good enough life. I think we need Jesus to forgive our sins and to cleanse the mistakes we make even after we've been forgiven. I don't think we can decide what's good. I mean, here's a man who's in a difficult marriage. And he's going to say, well, the reasonable and the good thing to do is for us to separate because we're not getting along. Maybe she can find somebody better. Maybe I can. That the good thing would be for us to go our separate ways. Jesus says, no. Forgive and let God work on your character and her character and give this thing some time and don't run away. Stay in this relationship.
So people should be stuck in a loveless marriage just because God thinks it's a good idea?
God doesn't think it's a good idea. God says it's really what it's all about. I mean, I preached the wedding sermon for both of my daughters here the other summer, and I said, listen, this isn't just about your happiness. This is character development. I mean, in most relationships, if things are challenging, you can run away. But you're entering into a relationship that's going to be 24/7. It's going to challenge you at the deepest level.
Yeah, but if being in that relationship makes your life miserable, then I mean, my God, move on. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. God, see, you're proving my point. And that is, it is not within man that walketh to direct his steps. God has a purpose and a perspective that's larger than ours. And he had something in mind for marriage that's far different from what we did. His purpose for marriage among many other things, was a very intense and challenging character development. And my wife and I have been married almost 40 years. And
but you got to understand, nowadays the divorce rate is over 50%. I mean, a lot of these people get married and they hate each other. They're screaming at each other. They got pressure to be getting married. Maybe they had a kid out of wedlock and then they got married. I mean, it seems like they weren't taking God's, God into consideration when they went ahead and took the plunge.
Well, then we believe that they have to live with the choices they made and allow God to work in the situation. You're right. I married my wife after I had a hands-off courtship because I didn't want the physical to short-circuit our investigation of our ideals, our temperaments, so that we knew we really could enjoy each other outside the bedroom. That's right. The devil has everybody immediately focus on the physical. Everything else is obliterated, and they get married, and they realize they're strangers. But having done that, God can work in that situation. They're going to go through some real trials. But see, Jesus never promised us an easy life. He promised us a life of meaning and purpose and development of character. And even though I made an ideal marriage, for the first 10 years, I'm going to guess, we struggled with differences. She was raised in a very different home than I was. And there were unhappy moments. But I can say now that we've worked through all of that. Both of us have matured tremendously as a result of those challenges. And now we have a very, very delightful relationship. But it took some real adjustment. And most people run away before the adjustment can even take place.
I mean, we have people that not only scream at each other, they hit each other, they throw things at each other, they shoot each other. We have that all the time here.
Right.
And they get arrested.
Let me tell you a true story, Phil, that happened right a mile from where I live. And this was in a generation before me. The people I'm going to describe I knew as old people. They were probably in their 70s or 80s after what I'm going to describe was all over. But this dear girl, she was a sweet young lady. She married this fellow that was very impressive, and he was a member of her church. And they got married, and she was not aware till after they were married that he was a womanizer. He had been womanizing before he married her, and after he was married, he brought the women home to sleep in her house, and she was expected to have breakfast for the woman the next morning with her family.
But what was his point of getting married in the first place? If he was going to do that, he shouldn't have been married.
You tell me. I guess respectability. I don't know. Anyway, this woman, she just simply lived through that as a Christian lady and forgave him and did what I just described. And she had six children by him, and she led all of those children into the church. They all were fine people, and they all made good marriages. And lo and behold, after many years, this man got his act together, surrendered his life to Christ, and that's when I would have known them, when they were two delightful old people stumbling down the aisle of the church, old people, just a delightful couple, and that happened at the end. If she had run away, the family would have been split up. Who knows what would have happened to the children? The husband probably never would have gotten his act together, but it was a tremendous amount of suffering. And, God speaks to people probably more through suffering than he does in any other way. I mean, he really does get people's attention when they're suffering. And if they will trust him, he gives special grace or special power. That man watched that woman suffer, and I can believe that that probably was eventually what convicted him, the suffering that he caused this woman.
So he doesn't...
We don't see all of that perspective. So when we say, we're going to live a good life, we don't need God, we can't even define what's good. We have no clue what good is. Good is whatever God says, not what we say.
How do we know that God is actually right? I mean, that's up for debate. What God's vision for you might not be your own vision.
That's where there has to be a certain amount of trust. But we look at the life of Jesus, and we see how he lived. And we see exactly what that woman did. We see it in the life of Christ. We see him submitting to all kinds of indignities and injustices and suffering and finally put to death. Very unjustly, very cruelly. And he says, you need to take up your cross. This is what I accomplished by my cross. You will also fight a really good battle with your cross. So take up your cross and follow me. He says that.
A Christian church I know doesn't like gay people getting married. What if they were religious and they got married and they lived a happy life? That's still looked down upon, isn't it?
Well, we're back to what I said. Are we going to define what's good, or is God going to define what's good? And he knows the total perspective of a society that becomes more and more gay. He knows what happens in those societies. I don't know if I can describe everything that happens, but I'm going to trust God that that's not good. That in the end, when that plays itself out, it will not play itself out in a way that will be good for the society.
So, so if two gay people got married and they've lived and they've been, let's say they've been, you know, they live for 30, 40 years and they're still married and they're still happy, that's not a good thing. Most marriages aren't very happy and they're straight. So, I mean, if two gay guys could pull it off, then and they're happy, that should be the end of it.
Well, see, I've been trying to tell you that we don't define what's good, and happiness does not define what's good. God defines what's good. And he says he created male and female to be one flesh. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 19. He said, don't you know that God created male and female to be one flesh?
So what happens when religious leaders, Catholic priests, are buggering the little boys? I mean, that does happen. What's going to happen to them?
Well, that's sinful too.
But they're doing it under the cloth. They're doing it under, you know, the Lord's house.
Well, there are all kinds of Christians that do things that are sinful and wrong and claim that they're good people. There again, they're defining what's good. They're not allowing God to define what's good.
But, if they're wearing the collar, I mean, they must have built their way up to that point. I mean, they must have been good with God up until then and then decided to go south.
In some cases, maybe, but in some of them, they may have been sinning like that all along.
One more question. What about, we have an increasing homeless problem, not just here, but pretty much all over the country, all over the world. Does God have any, was that part of God's will? Does God have any plan for those people? They're, you know, people are living on the street, people living in tent cities, can't find any housing.
It's what I said earlier. It's a result of evil men making very bad choices. In fact, it's interesting that you ask that because the billboards are put there by Christian Aid, AID as in day, uh-huh, ministries. And that's exactly our concern. We have people all over this world distributing food, clothing, medicine, seeds, microloans, anything we can do to help people. In fact, our people are down there right now cleaning up after those floods, and they'll be down there rebuilding. We have a tremendous interest in the needy of the world, and I think God says, look, I want to help those people. I'm going to use these Christians to help. In fact, they tell me that when the New Orleans Katrina happened, that many people said, look, the people who came to help us were the Christians. They weren't the atheists. They were the Christians that came to help us, and that has tremendous influence on that city. So, yeah, we have a tremendous concern for the downtrodden and the unfortunate. That's our opportunity to show God's love and show that he does care.
So God is pretty much saying, okay, I'm going to let these people suffer, and I'm going to see who comes through their aid. And then those people will be all right with me, not necessarily people that need the aid so much.
You're onto something, although just doing good is not, like I said, is not what's going to save us. But it is true that in Matthew 25, Jesus says, look, you fed the hungry, you visited the people in prison, you clothed the naked, you enter into the joy of thy Lord. And then he says to another group of people, you saw me hungry and you didn't feed me. You saw me naked, you didn't clothe me. Depart from me. So it is true that in the end, God is going to look at what we did with the needs around us. But in order for us to really do that in a way that pleases God, we have to let him define what's good. We have to let Jesus Christ be our master and our Lord, and we need to follow him. But if we follow him, we will be very concerned about the needs of our world.
Got it. All right. Okay. Well, I do have to run. I do thank you for your time, though. I really appreciate you taking the time out and explaining the billboards and explaining the message to me. I've learned a lot. Actually, I really have.
Well, Phil, you said you have a Bible. Would you study the New Testament and let Jesus speak for himself? And I would like to send you some materials that will explain the kingdom of God. I preached 6 messages on that subject, fleshing out what Jesus said about it. Would you like for me to send those to you free of charge?
No, sir, that will not be necessary. But thank you, though.
Okay. The Gospels will be good enough. You study those, and I think you'll have
you
to
got it.
That Jesus, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Master, you will have a good master, and you will be pursuing ideals that answer to the ideals you carry in your own heart as to what your life and humanity should be.
Okay.
We have a website, Phil. It's gospelbillboards.org.
That's right.
Take a look at that website. A lot of good stuff there that will explain some of the things we talked about.
All
gospelbillboards.org. Right. And do you mind if I conclude this little session with prayer?
Yes, I do mind, but thank you. Jesus Christ. He hung in there, though. I was actually fascinated by what he was saying. At least he didn't sound like a dummy. I mean, I could go on and say I think all religious people are dummies, but, you know, he sounded fairly intelligent, and he definitely knew the Bible. I mean, I don't think he had one open in front of him. I think he was able to pull the correct verses out of his ass when he needed them. You know, I don't want to get on there and derail the conversation. I could have easily just said, the Bible, what a load of shit. This is all bullshit. You know, what's wrong with you people? No. You know, because I wanted to make it a long conversation. I mean, you got to hand it to him. He is committed. He is committed to the lie. You know, he'll take that shit right to his grave. Well, that's funny, though. He said God is not really in control of the natural disasters, although you've definitely heard some religious people say, well, God is mad at us. That's why he's building up these big hurricanes and these floods and these fires and these earthquakes. But he's saying, no, God's not in charge of that shit. That's your fault. So maybe that's the Christian church saying, maybe there is climate change. Wow, that was quite the interview. I'm fucking tired. I'm exhausted from it. Anyway, moving on. I was talking about the homeless earlier. Anaheim, California. A few of you around the country may have heard of it. Most famous for, of course, Disneyland. And then right across the 5 freeway from Disneyland, we have Angel Stadium, where the former California Angels, former Anaheim Angels, and now Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim play baseball. And next door to that is the Arrowhead Pond, where the Anaheim Ducks play hockey, formerly known as the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. That's right, named right after the stupid Disney movie. As a matter of fact, that's when they came into the league, right when that movie came out. But now Anaheim seems to be well known for one other thing.
Emotions are bubbling over tonight in Anaheim. That's where the city council members met to set a vote on whether to declare a state of emergency.
I love what suits argue about the homeless.
Kickin' Eyes' Tom Wade is live outside Anaheim City Hall right now where things
they don't fucking care.
Heated, right, Tom?
Yeah, things definitely got a little bit ugly inside the Anaheim City Hall complex.
Those are just the council members.
Jeff, they are set to vote probably in the next hour and a half. I just got a text message from one of the officials inside.
You didn't get a text message from anybody. Shut up.
This is all about whether to declare a state of emergency over the issue of homelessness.
In Anaheim. Nobody cares about Anaheim.
You have no compassion, and you know what? I feel sorry for you because you don't care about people.
Heated words tonight inside Anaheim City Council chamber, pitting neighbors against neighbors along with activists over the issue of homelessness. At the center of the controversy, this tent city in the shadow of Angel Stadium, where about 422 homeless people live.
Mike Trout's ball hit me on the head.
Murray is proposing a state of emergency.
Meanwhile, Albert Pujols makes $25 million a year. He's 100 feet away from these fuckers.
And showers? Take them to your house. I'll rent a bus. We'll deliver them.
Why would the public feel comfortable with sending more officers down there to be around the most vulnerable members of our society?
The only solution to homelessness is housing. We
encourage in your house.
The council to commit funding to housing solutions.
Yeah.
Where are our rights?
Good luck with that.
I don't want to see people with feces
Ooh,
in my yard.
Ooh, lady, you're fat.
Needles in my yard.
You are
The measure
fat.
Is largely symbolic. No
you can house about five homeless people under that gun.
To dealing with the homeless issue, but city officials say if approved, it would allow Anaheim to open up more shelter beds and resources to help those in tent cities get back on their feet. Earlier in the day, the Orange County Board of Supervisors voted to approve stepped-up policing here along the Santa Ana River Trail.
Mr. Supervisor, I'm going to hold you personally responsible for my residents, my District 5 residents, because they want to see something happen. They want it now. They cannot wait any longer.
Hey, get those
and
homeless people away from my BMW.
The vote to approve more stepped up policing will likely lead to more removal of homeless people in that tent city. The question is, where will they go? That vote tonight may help with answers on that. That may help place homeless folks in some of the shelters here in Anaheim. But
ship them off to Santa Monica.
Cities in Orange County.
That's where they all wind up anyway.
With resources.
Orange County is an enigma. Some of the richest people live in fucking Orange County. A lot of athletes live there, but they live in Southern Orange County. They live in Newport Beach or Huntington Beach. They don't live in fucking Anaheim or Santa Ana. Hell no. That's the ghetto. But Disneyland is in Anaheim. Well, here you go. I have the solution to the Anaheim homeless problem. If you know anything about Disneyland, there's an area right in the middle of the park called Tom Sawyer's Island. Plenty of room. And they're on an island. You don't even have to deal with them. Ship them all onto that fucking island. They can have whatever scraps are left out of the trash cans at Disneyland. And fucking tourists could feed them, like at the zoo. They could throw popcorn and shit at them. Take selfies with them. Make some money off the homeless. And they could live in a very nice environment, surrounded by water. Hell, they could jump in that little fucking river, take a bath. Nobody wants to hear practical solutions. Either send the cops down there, send them to some other city. Yeah, put them in a shelter, whatever. We don't care. I care. I care. I care about not seeing these motherfuckers all over the street, begging for change, shitting all over the place. Put up on Tom Sawyer's Island, done. Put up little houses there, little buildings. No more tents. Put some plumbing in there. The only catch is they can't leave the fucking island. Put alligators in that river, they can't swim out. By the way, the alligators come in very handy when it's time to deal with unruly Disneyland children. At least that's one thing that Florida got right. And on that note, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Because that's Jesus' vision for me. God controls my happiness. God controls my every move. No, we don't. BigAngryPhil.com is where you can find me at BigAngryPhil.motherfucking.com. You're on Facebook and you're sick of reading about the end of the world, Donald Trump, and hurricanes? Well, come on over to the Big Angry Phil podcast page. Like that shit. Follow that shit. Just do that shit. Hey, follow me on Twitter at The Big Angry Phil. Come on. Follow me on Instagram, Big Angry Phil. You can hear the show on SoundCloud, TuneIn, and iTunes. Hey! Make sure you listen to and support the Tom Likas Show. TomEverywhere.com. Get to that app. GaryAdito.com. Get to the stupidest show in the world. And you want to hear it. Well, that's it for me. Be back soon. See ya!